Hello and welcome to episode 23 of LDS Woman's Book Review Podcast. I'm Shanda, here with my friends,
Sheila
and Hillary.
We have a fun podcast for you today since Mother's Day is in May. We've been talking about this for the last few podcasts. We're talking about the books by Deborah Sensing Woods, and we'll get to those in a minute. But first, I want to get to some book news that Sheila has some dates and stuff for us. So why don't you go ahead with that, Sheila?
Okay. Well, I went through a lot of, well, maybe not everyone is going to be as thrilled about some of these books coming out as I am, but these are the ones that I was interested that are going to be coming out. We'll start with Stephanie Black. She has her new book out. When did it come out? About a month ago?
It was the beginning of, end of March, maybe.
Okay. Fool Me Twice is out now, and Shanda's already read it.
Yes, it was great.
I'm next.
Good mystery suspense.
My book's at the library waiting for me till tomorrow.
I'm number 400, so I'm stealing it from Shanda.
We'll be talking about that book in more detail next month.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to.
So get on that. Go read that. Everybody.
Yeah. The new book by Jessica Day George, the second book in the Dragon Slipper series, Dragonflight, is coming out April 29th.
Oh, I can't wait.
And you know what? She has got the best website. You guys need to go there and read her blog. It is absolutely hilarious. I mean, she is just so much fun.
She's so cute.
Oh, she is.
I have not had a chance to look at any of this. I'm so excited to go check it out.
And we're proud and happy to announce that Jessica will be podcasting with us. In July, she's going to come and talk about Dragonflight and also her book, Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow, that I read. I don't know if you want me to talk about that right now since I'm
No, we'll let the readers go read it while we prepare. Now, hopefully her schedule won't change because she is a nationally published author. Hopefully we'll be able to keep that date with her. So, but we're going to do our best. We can't wait to meet with you, Jessica.
She is going to be fabulous. She's such a hoot.
She's so much fun. I mean, you only caught a blurb of her in our last podcast from the Whitney Awards.
Right, right.
Which, I mean, I don't know about you, but it took me a few weeks to come down off that little high.
Oh, totally. I had so much fun at the Whitney Awards. It's like, let's do that every 6 months, you guys.
You know, we talked to so many different people on and off microphone, I guess you could say. And it was just
I got thinking about it when I got home. And I was talking to my visiting teachers yesterday, and we were talking about some of these authors. I'm like, well, I've met them. I've met him. He's awesome. I met her. And they were just looking at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And it like dawns on me. I've met all these people. And they're awesome.
Like, name dropping, isn't it fun?
I wasn't even meaning to. It was just like I just like dawned it in my head. And I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. It's fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
So that's Jessica's second book in the Dragon Slipper series, Dragonflight. You can get it everywhere. It's going to be out there everywhere.
Didn't she say there were three?
I can't remember.
She even said a number, actually. But I know there isn't. I think there's one more at least.
But there's a lot of fun things that are going to be in Dragonflight.
A lot of questions, she says.
But there's a lot that starts off at the beginning that's totally different from where it ended.
Is there a sample chapter on her website or
something? I believe so. I think, because I read about it somewhere. I'm trying to think where I read it. Well, go ahead and check it out. Okay. Yeah. Those of you who like Aragon, the series, the third book in the Inheritance book series, Briesinger, is coming out September 20th, I think is what I read. A lot of these dates I got at Amazon.com. So we'll see how accurate they really. A lot of times they put out a date and they don't always hold. But there's a book coming. The cover, the dragon on the cover is so cool. So all of you that liked Aragon and Eldest, Briesinger is the third book. It's coming out in September, which I was excited about. Of course, everyone knows that Breaking Dawn, book 4 in the Twilight series by Stephanie Meyer is coming out August 2nd, 2008. So
we're counting down.
I mean, it's like we've got that book coming out in August, and then a few months later, we have the movie coming out. So that's exciting, too.
Sheila and I are just beyond excited.
I know.
Speaking of, the wonderful Hillary got us spots in the Good Things Utah audience.
So look for us. We'll wave. Hi, it's us.
You're going to go, them.
On the day that Stephanie Meyer is supposedly going to be there.
Oh, we're hoping. Really
they've confirmed, but that could still change. You know how that is.
Wouldn't it be so wonderful?
Well, we know she's going to be in town.
There.
Yeah, we know she'll be in
because
town.
Because
she can make that.
She's meeting with big groups of people on the 16th and also on the 17th. And I'm one of the people in the 17th
so lucky
that will go get to, you know, like 10 or 15 of us that will get to go in each little group and have our book signed. So, yeah. Okay, go on.
Yeah, you're going to take a card, right, if we don't get a chance to slip her one at Good Things Utah?
Hey, the whole thing is she only signs two books for each person that's in each group.
No, you can still slip her card.
Well, though. I'm going to let her. Well, we all have our cards from our group. Oh, you bet you. One way or the other, I will make sure she knows about the wonderful ladies of LDS Women's Book Review.
And all of our wonderful listeners.
Yes.
We love you guys.
We do. Thank you for listening. But so that's the exciting thing. So we'll, you know, check out Good Things Utah on May 16th. And
if you're in Utah. Yeah, I know a lot of our listeners are in other places. But
that's true.
If you're not, that's okay.
For you Utahns.
Okay. And then her book, The Host, Stephanie Meyer, which is their sci-fi. It's really going to be interesting reading this. It sounds interesting to me. I haven't read as much sci-fi as I have fantasy, but it comes out May 6th. So
that'll be fun, especially because with her writing style.
Yes.
You know, I'm hoping that it isn't just the subject matter.
And the same thing. Like, right.
You know, because what percentage of it is her writing style and what percentage of it is the story.
Right.
So I'd like to see if her writing style carries. Changes. I'm pretty with sure that will carry genre. Through, but how right. does it mix with
and
the sci-fi?
And it's her first adult novel, too, so that'll be interesting to see if there's a dramatic difference between a young adult versus an adult novel.
When
so.
She's working for the adult audience.
Yeah. Are there any other books on your list?
Yes. Of course, Fablehaven 3, Grip of the Shadow Plague by Brandon Mole, April 21st when it came out, and I don't have my copy yet. I'm hoping that they'll send us a copy of that.
I hope so. If
not, because, but he had a big party on that date. Yeah, when it came out at I think it was up at Cottonwood High. I wish I could have gone. You know what? The reviews for this book are phenomenal. I'm amazed at what people are saying about it.
I've been wanting to get to that series for so long. I just need to do
it. I'm starting book one. My cousins have it.
Really?
So I stole it. Well, and we're going to read it for a bedtime story now. We're done with Ramona.
There are a few scary parts for little kids.
Well, my kids are in there. A little older. I think they can handle a little scary. They like scary, actually.
Well, see, my daughter's loving it. My son's a little bit more, you know. But
for now, anyway.
Seriously, everyone who's – I mean, I even read what Jeff Savage had said about – Fablehaven 3 too. And everyone's saying the same thing, that this is the best of the series. So I'm so thrilled to get my hands on the third book.
I can't wait. Okay, I just need to get down to reading business. Anything else?
Oh, yes. I just have a few more. Okay, Angie Sage, who wrote the Septimus Heat books.
Yes, Flight, Magic Flight.
Right.
Physic.
Physic and Quest just came out. April 8th is when it came out.
Really? I didn't know she had a fourth one. I haven't even gotten to the third one.
Well, all these books, I knew they were all coming out. This is why this year has been so exciting to me, because all these books and all these series that I love, I'll have a new book coming out.
And you were wondering what year we're going to do after Harry Potter.
I knew.
There's always something else.
Well, and then the Inkheart series. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's Inkheart and then Inkspell.
Yep.
Now, what was really interesting, she was originally going to call her third book Ink Dawn, but now she's changed it to Ink Death.
Really?
Yes. And so
that's kind of ominous.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. It's coming out October 1st, and it's by Cornelia Funke. And remember the book I told you, Inkheart, the movie, is coming out this summer. It may even be in May. But if you went and saw any of the movies the last few months, there was a trailer. They were showing the trailer, and it looks so good. I was so excited. And the bad guy in the series is played by the actor who played Gollum in Lord of the Rings. Yeah,
that's Andy Serkis.
And then, of course, the thing that I have been waiting for so much is Jeff Savage's new fantasy book. As you can see, there was kind of a theme there in all the books I'm excited about. Hillary.
Fantasy.
And I'm over here just rolling my eyes, going, okay, when's something out that I'm going to be ready? And bouncing off the walls.
She was bouncing up and down when I talked about Breaking Dawn.
I'm very excited about that.
But Far World is coming out, I think, either end of August or September, because I think the thing that's getting me really confused is I'm so excited that I'm going to be a part of, there's 400 of us. People that are going to be getting advanced copies of Far World. And then we're going to be blogging about the book. And so this is all going to be happening June, July, and August. And Find the Magic is another website that's totally dedicated to the whole Far World series. Go and check it out. Do you remember what the actual URL was?
I remember it was like J.S. Savage or J. Scott Savage at blogspot.com. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, if you just Google what Jeff Savage, or did you just Google Far World?
I Googled Far World.
And it did say J. Scott Savage. It didn't write Jeff on there at all.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's the name that is going to be on the book. Isn't that what he told us before? He's going to have a different name on the book.
It's going to be presented differently.
And remember, when Jeff was here before, he told us that Far World is going to be part of a 5-book series, fantasy series. And he's going national with this. He is going to, we are so glad we met him before he became J. Scott
Sweet. So we have our little connection with him before he gets all famous.
But this thing is just going to be huge, and I'm so excited for him and for us, and hopefully we can get...
Or should we say infamous?
Infamous? With Jeff, it's more infamous.
No,
but
we're so excited for Jeff.
I mean, exactly.
He's promised to come back and talk to us after Fire World is released, and so...
We're hoping August, September, maybe, that we can get him here.
It all depends on what his touring schedule is. So.
Right. See, and I'll have to read his because I like him.
Oh, and you know
what?
I'll
read it just simply because
I've read bits and pieces of it that he had originally sent me, and he said a lot of that had changed from what he had sent me originally. But from what I read, it just hooked me right from the beginning. No, I could not get enough of it.
And you cannot deny that you have read some fantasy that has really
that you've really enjoyed.
Dragon Slippers,
and I will read Dragonflight. Good. I'll have to pull my arm on that one because I just really enjoyed it.
There's some. I wonder if it's just a matter of finding your taste of fantasy because there's different. There's a whole range within
really
each genre.
Is
there is a
big
range, and that's what I'm
difference.
Learning. I mean, since we've started
well,
doing this,
like
I've
Shannon
definitely
Hill's books.
Oh,
right?
I liked one of them. I liked.
Did
I
you
read
like
all of them
magic
though.
When we read the Septimus Heat books? Did you like that at all?
If it was more magical,
it was interesting.
But yeah. See, you didn't read the others, right?
No, okay, I only got as far as
you know.
First
the
one.
Thing that I found with a lot of series books, you have to read more than one book in a series because a lot of times they
see,
build
that's
on
I
each
have,
other.
That goes back to my old
I
argument.
Know you don't
if
like
I have
series.
I have issues with series.
And
see,
so
Jeff
love
better
it,
make
so.
Them good because if I'm going to get through all five of them, they're going to have to be stellar.
I have no doubt about
so,
Jeff making.
But I'm not
good.
Too worried about it because
you know
Jeff.
He's a good writer.
So you know, Chandra Covington series proved it to me.
Well, in his new Chandra book, he was telling us originally was going to be coming out in August.
I think. Yeah, I can't remember, but the listeners who've listened to that podcast, he talked about it then, like when they were
right.
coming out. But I'm going to be
we'll
putting all of the
you.
Dates of these things on the website, so you can double check there, or by all means, check out the author's websites. They have so many little tidbits and samples and information that it's worth it to visit your favorite author's websites and just to go around and explore and see what you can find on
right.
their websites and their blogs because they...
Oh, they're great.
Oh, they can be some very
they're
interesting
wonderful.
Blogs.
And, you know, every author that I mentioned here has a wonderful website that I've gone to that I've gotten new information and
you
so
know,
I love
you
it.
You need to send me those that you've been to so we can
okay.
add them to our list.
I will do that because, like I said, I've gone to every single one of these mm-hmm. authors and gone to their website.
So you can check our links section on our website for a list of the authors, and if it's not there immediately, we'll get it there as fast as we can. Okay, anything else? Any book releases that you know
no.
that are coming out?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't have anything.
I don't have anything exciting new me. To tell.
Okay, so let's get into recent reads. We'll let Sheila's voice have a break, and we'll let Hillary take
I'll
off
start.
Because she's had more
read
reading than I have. I don't know how much you... I've
not
read
as
recently.
Much as I'd like, but a little bit.
Okay, so take it away.
Well, the Deseret book catalog came out, and the Siegel book catalog came mm-hmm. out. So I went through that and circled and went on the library website and just went nuts. So I've had a bunch come in. So I started with Simplify by Carolyn J. Rasmus, I think is how you say her name. And it was wonderful, you guys. Simplify, she does it as an acronym. The S is stillness, I is integrity, M is mercy, P is prune, L is let go, I is impossible, F is fortify, Y is you. And she goes through all the different things. Each chapter is about what that word means and not in a boring mm-hmm. way. It's like in a very
how to apply it to yourself.
How to apply it and not be too boring. You know
so
what I mean?
Is it
so
an
really,
easy read book?
Oh yeah, it only
because
took me a
you know
hours.
That's my one thing about books like that.
It's very quick.
They are so boring. Some of them.
No, this I mean, none is of, really no, good.
I love Deborah's books that we're going to be highlighting now. They weren't boring.
No. This
some
is
of them,
this is
some
along
of them
the same
yeah.
lines. This is along yeah. the same lines where because okay. like she talks the very first thing she says is stress drives away the spirit. And I'm like okay, I'm reading. Tell me why, how I can stop.
We all know that.
You know,
yes, we do.
And she goes and she quotes different prophets and talks about ways to apply it where it's just realistic. And not boring.
Hey, do you want
just,
to tell us the name again? Yes, personal.
Simplify.
Just simplify. That's,
simplify by Carolyn wow. J. Rasmus.
Is it easy to personally apply
easy
it?
Easy to personally apply it. Like I took notes and I'm going to stick it in my day planner. Well,
good.
Sort of. I'll figure out a way to do it. That so I can just have little reminders.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like
so,
I mean obviously you've taken pages of notes
oh,
so
it, I have like 8 pages of notes
oh my heavenly
it was
days.
Really
Hillary
good.
Does not like to waste time so if she's
no.
notating it's,
then you know that
if
it's
I
good.
Wrote down the quote and a lot of these I've starred which means they're going to go on my quote book because I have a quote binder that I keep all my favorite ones in and there's quite a few in here that are going to be going in there so that
okay,
was one one
what's your next one
and my next one I read was Finding the Diamond Within which was Marilyn Stoich, is that what her last name? Mary Anderson Stosich. There we go. And she's gorgeous, by the way. Like, I look at the back cover and go, wow, this woman's beautiful. And she's not too far from here.
That's what I thought of
South Jordan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's not very far.
I thought Deborah was gorgeous, too.
Oh, Deborah's beautiful.
And I have to admit, I was a bit distracted when I was reading this book. I had a bunch of other things going on, so I really need to give it another shot at it. But it was really good, too. Like, it was not a boring book.
Give us a quick summary of what that was about.
It was just about not being proud, but taking, you know, remembering that you're feminine and that, you know, you have feminine qualities that men obviously can't.
So rejoice in being a woman.
Rejoicing
basically.
In being a woman and how we nurture. She has this one I loved and I've got to memorize this. She encourages you to memorize it too. She calls it the Baker's Daily Dozen, where to change your perspective in life. Like, if things aren't going the way you want them to, how to change your mind so that it's better to get through things that are horrible.
I like that.
Like, I'll just read them to you really fast.
Skills?
Coping mechanisms. Express fewer negatives. Be less critical and cold when you're angry. Be less defensive when you're listening.
It's kind of dead.
Be an engaged listener. Show interest. Be affectionate. Show you care. Be appreciative. Show your concern. Be empathetic. Be accepting. Joke around. Share your joy. And she goes through and talks about,
more
I love
pages
acronyms.
And pages of notes.
I have like tons of these, you
give
guys.
Us the title one more time.
It is... Oh, let me flip back to it. I got to find it.
Finding the Diamond Within. Right?
Finding the Diamond Within. Mary Ann Stosich. S-T-O-S-I-C.
Mary Anderson?
Mary Anderson. Stosich. I am so sorry.
Mary
Anderson.
Anderson.
Thank you, Shanda, for reading my note.
Stosich.
No, sorry.
S-T-O-S-I-C-H. Mary Anderson.
Is this is what this was in the Desert Book?
Yeah.
And,
and I just
catalog?
Circled it and... looked
that
up.
Would be good. I like
what was your
her?
Next one?
Baker's
Nobody's
Dozen.
Better Than You, Mom by Debbie Bowen. Loved it.
Okay, why did
loved
you like it?
Loved it. Because she has 10 kids. I'm pretty sure she has 10 kids. I kept losing track of who had how many kids because each of these moms had kids. But I'm pretty sure she's the one with
that's
10.
That's how come they're moms.
And again, I have a bunch of these. Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, that's kind of an obvious
sorry.
Thank you very much, Sheila, for reminding me of that. But
it's a Friday night podcast.
We all know how Sheila gets on a Friday
and
night.
I know.
If it were especially any later, I'd be jumping right back in with that. But the very first thing she says is she talks about how, Mom, you're the one. It's a privilege to be the one who's wanted. And I know it doesn't feel like that when you're hearing mom, 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 mom. And especially in my house with five of those going on at the same time in different ways. Some crying, some different things. It's just remember that you're the one that's wanted. And, you know, they don't ask for dad first. They always ask for mom. Most of the time, it's a mom.
That's
and
true.
Talking about how love is the super glue of life and she gives really good examples of different things, like with her kids, different experiences, and ties it into, you know, using little allegories that are just perfect. That just really nice.
I think she liked the book.
I loved it. So it's one of those that I have starred. Those three books I'm going to be buying some point over the next year, which, in case you're wondering, means a lot.
Well, and the fact that she already owns both of Deborah's books.
Yes.
That says a lot, too.
Yes, I love them. So
That was appropriate for what we're talking
about.
Yes,
and that's part of the reason I just kind of went, wait, because they're sending out the Mother's Day catalogs. That's what it was. So they're all on motherhood and stuff, almost all of it. So it's just, like, there was one, and this has 4 stars on it, so I'm just going to tell you one of the quotes that she has. And it says, difficulties in life are intended to make us better, not bitter. And I thought, that's a fridge. That's going on my fridge.
That's very good.
So, and you know, it's just things like that. She goes through it and she talks, she has poetry in here that is just wonderful. And I just loved it. You guys, it's just an awesome book.
Highly recommended?
Highly recommended.
That's
I'm going to buy it when I get a chance.
That's good.
Next, after Disneyland. So everything's after
Disneyland.
Was there
another book that you had read?
I think
I saw 4 on your list.
Well, unless you count Katie Brown's Weekend. Weekends. She has some good recipes on there. Just
it's a
slushies.
Recipe.
You know who Katie Brown is? She's
no.
like a,
sorry,
she's on
Katie
PBS
Brown.
A lot, but she's a national, she's not local or anything, but she does like cute, like she does, that's where I got the idea to put spray paint on my plastic boxes. Like you get Rubbermaid, 8-gallon, whatever. You spray paint chalk on them, chalkboard paint. And then you can write on chalk what's in the box instead of using tape or markers on it that you're constantly scribbling out. You have this box that has 5 different scribbles on it. You just use chalk.
Wow.
So it's things like
that.
Yeah,
but see, my kids would be like, oh, look, rub it off.
Well, I have it in my kitchen on my drawers because I have some plastic drawers by the back door.
Oh, really?
And I have my public library books in there, and I have my school library books, and then I have miscellaneous, and I have it in chalk. And the kids haven't touched it. That's really
good. Little ones.
That is a good idea for
certain things. So it's just a really good idea for certain things. It doesn't work with everything.
Especially for those who like to remove everything around
the
wall.
Which I do. So it works perfect.
You know what?
Yeah, whatever.
I have been revisiting and finishing some of the books from...
Love you too.
From the... I love that we love each other. But from the Whitney Awards. Mm. Because I think a lot of this, when we were getting ready for the Whitney Awards, we read
either so quickly, or we only were able to read like three or four chapters or half of it and didn't get to finish all of it.
I read Sheep's Clothing by Josie Kilpack, and I loved it. And not for the fact that it was a fun, uplifting book, because it's not. It's scary. And because it really warns parents about the dangers of the internet out there with your kids.
Yep, I read that too.
Thinking about things?
Enjoyed it.
It just creeped me out. I mean, as I read it, it just really made me realize, because we all think that we always are keeping a total eye on our kids when they're on the internet, and it's not possible constantly, even though my computer is right out there, like yours, that your kids play with.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. It's right there, mm-hmm. So when they're on there, I'm cooking dinner or I'm doing something in the kitchen. But this stuff still comes up. And this, it happens to her teenage daughter, and so that's the thing that... Really,
and I have to throw in there: the ending is so intense.
It really is.
Oh,
you know what?
My word!
I just barely started it, so I don't have anything.
It just
to
got
add.
Me sick through the whole thing, though, and I just you could just feel that this is an important message. I just think
a parent should
read it.
I think
just for that,
and there's a lot of information in it. I would call it a very. I would almost call it a mix of a nonfiction fiction. That's how I kind of saw
true.
It. Because it read a little bit of both to me, and I liked it. I thought it was a needed book.
I agree with you there.
And we can't wait to talk to Josie.
Yes, I want to talk to her about
it. We're going to try and get her on the podcast when we can. She's got a new book coming out. We want to grab her out right after her new book comes out. If
we have a bunch of questions.
If it all works out for her to come out, because she's writing about someone whose identity is stolen. And she told us about that in the podcast last month. But at the Whitney Awards. But I'm excited to be able to talk to her about all of that.
Correct. I would like to also.
That will be fun.
But the one thing that worries me, and I don't know if she addressed it in this book, so maybe you can answer me, is when they're at friend's house. You never know what they're doing on the internet, on the computer, at friend's house.
She does go to, and part of it, she does go to her friend's house and IMs the guy.
But that was so good because it's really, that was a saving grace in the long run. So
yeah, it was. Because her friend knew about this.
Yeah, don't say anything.
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, we'll leave that.
It's really good. So in a way.
Not at that part yet.
But then the other book that I was able to finish was The Deep End.
Tracy Abramson.
Oh, my heavens.
She has a new one out, and
I can't wait
to read it. I want to contact her.
She is a good author. This is her first book that I have read of hers.
I think it's her first. I don't know if she has any of the ones out before. No, the first one.
Was that her first?
The Deep End. Because this one, I can't remember for sure, but I think it's called like Free Fall or some other such thing like that. But she has a new one coming out, or it's in the catalog. Did you guys see the new one by her in the catalog?
I remember reading it. To be honest, I kind of skipped through the fiction because
I do the fiction thing. Well, not as much as the
fiction.
I'm sorry. You're
our nonfiction expert. And you're the fantasy expert.
Well, that's for sure.
Yes.
And Shanda does a little bit of
everything. Just an all-around handyman.
She does a little bit of everything. Not that we all don't read the other books.
I dabble.
We do. Yeah, Shanda's the dabbler.
I enjoy more than the others. I think that should be prefaced there.
I do adore the mystery suspense.
Oh, I'm
especially when there's a little bit of romance in it.
See, and I'm reading That's the fiction that I like.
I enjoy those too.
See, but you know what?
The Deep End.
Sheila, you know what though? If you ever need to know an answer to something that really doesn't matter, I'm your girl.
Cool.
I have a plethora of useless information.
Well, and you know what?
Plethora.
I will email
Somebody's
you.
Got to.
That's
and
right.
And then my third book that I absolutely loved, which hopefully we can talk a little bit about when Jessica comes, was her book that came out in this past January, Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow.
I need to
read it. It's a retelling of a fairy tale.
It is a Norwegian fairy tale, but it also has a little bit of Beauty and the Beast behind it,
really?
Too. And when I emailed Jessica a few weeks ago, I had just told her, I said, I really just finished reading this. I loved it. But I felt like you kind of wrote it a little bit more for adults because it just had a different feel to it.
Hmm.
And that she's one of those authors that's proven to me. Oh, yeah. She said, even though it's under juvenile, but she agreed, you know, it was different that way. It just had a very, very different feel to it. And I loved the story.
Well, how is Harry Potter marketed? Is it marketed as juvenile?
It is. Yes.
Even though it's definitely got adult content in it.
And that's one thing that is, that's why, you know, I like to encourage parents to read the juvenile fiction first or young adult fiction before they let
their kids read it. I like talking about it with our listeners because I can let them know, you know what, this is a great one.
Same thing with Stephanie Meyer's books. Know. Hers are marketed that way, but they're really not.
But I would recommend anyone that enjoyed Dragon Slippers to go ahead and get and read Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow. It's very different, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
She has a good writing style. It's not
like her writing style.
She's so much like her writing style.
She is. Well, in her next book's going to be full of knitting patterns. I love it.
Are you serious?
It is.
Dragonflight, right?
No. This is the book that she's writing about the princess and the prince and the 12 dancing
princesses.
Yes. That she has all these different knitting patterns. And it's funny, on her blog the other day that I read, she had a knitting pattern that didn't get put into the book that she had on her blog. It was all there. You know, this stitch, that stitch. I was just laughing. But
she's adorable. I can't wait to see her.
She wouldn't come across to me as a knitter.
No, she doesn't look like a knitter.
She's an avid knitter. Again, I probably don't come across as a crocheter.
Exactly.
She inherited that skill from her mother.
It sounds like that's going to be another wonderful book, and she's finishing up with that and having people read it and doing rewrites on that right now, and I can't remember.
For me, I'm currently working on one called You Don't Need to Slay My Dragons, Just Take Out the Trash, and I'm 3/4 of the way through it, and I love it. I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh, it's the best book ever, but it's what men want women to know and what women wish men knew. It's something like that. I haven't quoted exactly.
A relationship.
Beverly
book. Campbell.
No, I thought it was
Campbell.
Barbara.
Yeah, it was Beverly. It's Beverly Campbell. She's the one that wrote some books about Eve and the decision made in Eden. If any of you have read those books,
would you recommend that a husband and wife read this together, or would you have them
read
them separately?
Right now, my husband has been traveling.
I know
you're busy.
Not
so
being
what
around.
I'm no, actually, I'm reading through. I'll read through it and then I'll either summarize or ask him a question just to get his input. And I'll read the section like he was doing some things and I was sick on the couch with strep, which I got right after the Whitney Awards. So I think I might have caught it there, but it's okay. Anyway,
we look at each other like,
No, you guys didn't get it. I must have touched somebody or rubbed my eye or something. But anyway, I ended up with strep and I started reading this book and I was kind of bouncing off ideas with him and things that I read. And it actually helped him kind of see men himself in a different, because she brings a celestial eternal perspective into it and she keeps it so simple. She believes in three things. And so it keeps it easy to remember.
Like, don't tell
anything
me,
longer
I
than
read
that
it.
Gets too complicated. And this exercise she was just talking about in this book that you can do together involves some rocks, which I'm not sure if it, but
and not throwing rocks at each
other. No.
Oh man.
No, it's making your own little rock garden.
And, oh, okay.
And with the biggest rocks being the, what does she call them? Deal breakers is what she called them. Each of you lists like three things that are deal breakers. You have to have those three things or the marriage won't, like, as if you were not married.
Wow.
You have to have these three things or there would be no marriage. Like the things that are the most important to you. These three, they're deal breakers. If you don't have these three, then they're gone. And then you compare. And then of the six, you know, you put your six together and then you both agree on which three would be the biggest. And then you write like a word, a prompt or something. And then the other ones go in there and then you reevaluate. Every once in a while you reevaluate and see if any of those have changed. And once you've made your goals clear and you know you're headed in the right direction and you see what's most important to the other person. And it's, guys, it's simple and easy. You don't have to talk about emotions and all, you know, unless you want to. You know, but it's just, she's works with the UN, she's worked with ambassadors, she's a representative of the church. She's been there for 12 years. She knows about diplomacy and negotiation, and she's kept it simple and she's made it easy. And I haven't finished the book yet, but I've really, you know, been impressed so far.
We'll probably talk
it's a
about
very
this
intelligent
more
book,
after
so
all of us have a chance
once
to
I've
read
finished it.
It.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to get your input in anyway. That's the one. The
well, that
one book.
Good. I
the
can't
one
wait to
book,
read that one. I'm interested in that.
The one book.
That's okay.
That I've been able to read, and I haven't even finished it yet. But
well, Shanda,
sorry.
I've gone months without reading any. And like half of the book for the podcast.
You know, I just think we read so much before the Whitney Awards. I felt like my brain was burned.
Well, I stopped reading fiction. That's why I didn't read any fiction for that whole month because I read so many of those other ones.
Gear up because next month we're doing
fiction,
guys.
Oh, I can't wait to read Fools.
Listeners, if you've
Fool Me Twice,
all the
can't wait.
We're talking about Fool Me Twice and any other good fiction you guys come across. Let's just do a little Doesn't have to do be anything big. Okay. Let's just find a couple good books that we can recommend to our listeners.
Okay, that sounds okay. Good.
Now, well, there was one other thing I wanted to talk about before we went in there, and that was this book that we received to review. It's called Mom Says I Can.
It's a children's book.
It's a children's book by written and illustrated by Judy Cooley.
And right and off, the illustrations just made me go, wow.
The cover it's is very so realistic cute. Looking. A little boy in a box that he's drawn on with a compass, and you know, he's decorated this cardboard box to be his airplane. And this is so fun for me because the girls took a big Pampers box, or not Pampers, a Love's box from the diapers, and they put car stuff, license plate on the back, and a steering wheel and everything, and they put Riley in it and push him around. Actually, I do have a little bit of personal news. For all you listeners who remember when Riley was born, he's going to be one, and it's just gone by so fast. Anyway,
it does.
And he's walking, he's talking, he can say like,
it's unreal,
I don't know, like
fast. My question is, how do you get 2-year olds to shut up?
You know, I think that's a discussion for another podcast.
They don't.
Maybe
the Mormon Moms podcast can answer that one.
You know what? You go ahead and email Wit and
I'll ask that question to them.
Okay, anyway, this book is a little boy whose imagination takes him to all these different places. And
you guys, the drawings.
And at the end, the illustrations are
phenomenal. Just beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And very realistic, and I love the realistic ones.
He's got, you know, he's not cartoonish, armor.
But just very realistic.
He's a king of the jungle swinging through things. You know, just
he was a pirate in one.
Yeah, a pirate and a cowboy. He's a... What was the one I just saw? He's a spaceman.
And then at the very end, read to them what it says at the very end. I think
Well, and in each one it says things like, you know, Mom says I'm so brave, and Mom says I can. After he talks about what he's imagining, like the one that I liked the most said, I'm a superhero. This is not my underwear. See my cape and mask? I can run super fast, fly really high, and I'm the strongest man ever. Just like a real superhero, with my special powers, I'll find the world's greatest treasure. Mom says I can't go out in my underwear.
Of course, kids.
Little thing.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
Things like, Mom says I'm so brave and everything. And then, you know, at the end of the day, after he's all tired out from all of his imaginings, he sits on his mom's lap and he gives her a hug and tells her that he found the world's greatest treasure. And we'll just let you...
And you know why I love that last page? Because this is the stage I'm at right now with my son.
Where he sits on your lap and pats your
Well, look at that. That
cheeks.
Just reminds me of my son.
Oh,
there he is. There is his stage in his life right now where he's a little boy, you know, pretending to be different things. His older sister told him the other day that pretend friends aren't real and he shouldn't be doing that. And I was like, you little stinker.
I told him, I just
put my hand on his little cheek and rubbed his cheek. And I said, you know what? You can play with your pretend friends as much as you want because I think they're great. Okay, Mom, I will. You know, and it just made me so sad that his sister had said that. And he said, okay, I'll tell Harry we can keep playing. Harry Potter.
Harry.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Do you know what my pretend friend's name was growing up? Gumby. Handy Olskin.
Oh, who?
Handy Olskin.
Oh, cute.
That was my pretend friend.
Honestly, I don't ever remember having a pretend friend, but I rode a lot of imaginary horses. So
that's good. That's a pretend friend.
Well, cool. Hey, anyway, let's move on to Deborah's book since we're already
ways
into the podcast.
Deborah.
Can I put my disclaimer out there?
Yes.
My apologies go to Deborah on Mothering with Spiritual Power. I could have sworn I at least got further in this book than I did because I checked it out at the library, but it was due back. And so I had to return it because I couldn't renew it because there was a million holds on it.
I know, lots of holds.
And I got to chapter 5, and that was it, you guys. So I pulled it out this morning and didn't realize I had only gotten to chapter 5, but I will finish it. I bought it because I really liked it that much, just to chapter 5, if that doesn't tell our listeners something.
Exactly.
So,
if there's ever a mothering book
that
I would recommend.
Wonderful.
It would be these
wonderful.
Two.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
Like, how did you describe it to me, Sheila? The first one, Mothering with Spiritual Power, dealt with more of the raising and the spirituality and things like that. And then It's Okay to Take a Nap went more into reaffirmation
care
and just
of
kind
yourself.
Of exactly. Anecdotes about motherhood.
I call it guilt-free mothering.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because she just tells you so many, as we will tell you in this podcast, that you know what? You're doing a good job and it's okay. What you're doing is okay, and think of yourself that you're an okay mom.
Yep, I like
don't,
that.
Don't have that guilt weigh on your shoulders when you think that. I mean, you know, in our, we've talked about this before. I remember talking about this when we had Rob here. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about mothers, just how so many times as mothers we we just don't think we're as good as the mother next door or the other mothers in Relief Society.
Oh, no. So. She goes she into
does,
that,
she
too.
She does talk about
she
that.
Does. No, she does.
The first thing I noticed that she goes into is she talks about and I start it here. The gift of the gospel is most desirable above anything a material world can possibly offer. How many times we get caught up in they need to have the toys they want and the clothes they want. Yes. And we get so caught up in if we don't give them those things, we're not going to be a good parent. And that's getting too mixed up in the world's view. And in the long run, the gift of the gospel of teaching them is the most important. And I noticed in the book you had underlined here, one quote near the beginning of the book, she says, if we're going to stay in tune with the Spirit, we're likely going to spend some time praying on our feet. And she talks about how important
that is. She said that. That made me feel so much better because so many of my prayers are over the
On your feet.
I'm standing, loading the dishwasher going, please let Kimberlyn pass this test today. Or, please don't let me kill Lindsay. She's climbed up into the dishwasher again. Something like that,
Well, that's what she said. She said, it says, whether those prayers are whispered to heaven while we're tackling a sink full of dirty dishes or comforting a fevered, restless child in the middle of the night. Alma's prayer reminds us that praying on her feet is acceptable and likely even pleasing to our Lord.
And I love that because how many times
you're driving down and you're like, oh, yes. That.
You have a peaceful day and you just want to say thank you. Like you have a moment of peace. Thank you. There's been times when I've gone to bed or been getting ready for bed and I've checked on my kids and everyone's sleeping peaceful and everyone's healthy and everyone's happy. And I think this was when my husband was out of town that I felt so moved with gratitude for my kids. And I just, as I was walking back to my room, I just said this huge thank you prayer to Heavenly Father. And then I had to write in my journal.
I love it. And that's what she tells you also. Write down those experiences as a mother.
And it was nice. The one thing about these books, and especially the first one, Mothering with Spiritual Power, that was really great for me, is how affirming it is. I related to the lessons that she's learned. She talks about her weaknesses and her insecurities and her doubts and her mistakes that she's made. And she's made some, she admits she's made some doozies. We all have.
We all have.
And to be able to relate so much to like her temper that she talks about that she has sometimes and things. And sometimes she yells at her kids, even though she's trying so hard that she still has those times and we need to learn to forgive ourselves for those mistakes.
That it's okay.
And, to ask to repent and ask to be forgiven and then to just let that forgiveness sweep the guilt away.
No, I love it. That's why I said
and just keep doing our best, but the she talks about examples. I like being able to see that as an example to my children, the example I am now versus the example I was before this growth has happened. It's amazing how in 10 years of parenthood, I look back to where I was with when my oldest was 3 and I remember then struggling every day not to yell. Now when I yell, it's usually the last day that daddy's been out of town. He's on his way home. I'm strung out and I've finally reached my limit. But back then it was multiple times a day. She was my first child. I didn't know what I was doing. I was yelling a lot, because I was trying to figure everything out. But she, to see the growth she made and see that I've taken that same path in most things, she's made some very good points that I need to work on. But just having that affirmation about how far we've come as mothers from the beginning, if you feel the same way as I do.
Oh, absolutely.
That it just made me happy with myself, and I know that I am going on the right path as a mother.
You bet. Well, and I love each of the chapters. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the chapter titles within the Mothering with Spiritual Power. Likening the Scriptures unto our mothering lives. Calling our children to us one by one.
Can we stop? Okay. Likening the Scriptures.
Right.
What an idea.
Oh, that I know.
Read the Scriptures.
It didn't even dawn on me.
She wants you to read the Scriptures with an eye towards motherhood. Usually you either take it personally or
as a spiritual being. And
as yourself. But to look at it in the way of how does this apply to my being a mother is just a concept that hadn't occurred to me yet. And she has encouraged us in the email she replied. She encouraged us to, or encouraged the listener, wants to encourage the listeners to do that same thing and make your own get a notebook and write down your
absolutely
scriptures
love that
as
idea.
You come across them and how it applies to you as a mother and how you can apply it as in everyday life.
She said, make the time to write your stories, your testimonies, your philosophies down for your children, is what she said. And
she also said to make your own, keep your own book of your of your scriptures and how it applies to you. And I think
take
that's
a little
just a
time each
idea.
Sunday. I love that suggestion to do this.
Yep.
I just thought, how wonderful is that?
And then calling your children to you. I love that. Basically, the summary of that chapter was make time for each child. And
I know
one thing that she did talk about in here that I really need to do is to, and she talks about this, it's later on in the book, but pray to see your children as Christ sees them.
Oh, doesn't that just make you look at the little child that's just being naughty in a different light? My 2-year-old.
And also tolerable. I remember those beautiful blue eyes batting at me and I go, okay.
That's and to see, you know, how much, as trying as she can be, and all of our kids can be, in the end, the person, the spirit that they are, you know, it's something that'll shift your perspective faster than anything as a mother, I think, is to try and see your children as Christ sees them, yeah. But also to encourage them to see each other.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
In their siblings, which I wish I knew about that when Marla was out of town this last time, because I could have used that advice a little bit, but I hadn't read that part yet. You know, basically in this book, I don't know how she manages to do it, but it's like sitting down, like talking to somebody. And have you ever had a good conversation with another mother and you realize that you aren't alone?
And that's how you feel reading these books.
I feel this like is how she feels.
I totally agree. That's one of the reasons I enjoyed. That's why after 5 chapters, and mind you, these chapters are not like 50 pages each.
No, and that's what they're 3 to 5 pages. You can pick it up and read it and go off and do something else. Yes.
And that's a 5 minutes. I felt like I was chatting with an older sister, someone who's been there and experienced.
But you don't feel like you're being preached to. And that's what I really dislike about some the nonfiction books is I feel like I'm just being preached to from a pulpit, and it's like, you know what? That's not why I'm reading this book. I just want some loving guidance.
But she brings it up as a personal thing where it's all, you know, she brings her experience to the table and doesn't make any assumptions about the people out there. And I you know, the rest of the other people or repeating things. She just talks about what has happened in her life and how it's affected her. And it makes it easier to relate to. Okay. Next chapter. Sorry.
Okay. Let's see. Partaking of the gospel with our children, seeking holiness of heart, forgiving ourselves for our shortcomings.
Which we just talked about.
Yes, we did, which is good.
Which was, that was an excellent chapter.
Yes, all of these are good. I mean, we could spend 20 minutes or more on each chapter here. Creating a joyful mothering life. You know, that's the one thing I got out of both books more than anything is the fact that you need to find little snippets, little teeny bits of joy every day in mothering. Because how many of us just go to bed and like, you know, this happened today and this happened today and this happened today and I'm just going crazy. And
you're wondering how you're going to make it through the next day.
Yes, but if you just find, sit down. And that's why I thought it's so good to write down at the end of the day something good that happened during the day.
And she talks about that.
She does.
Gratitude journal.
She does.
Now, I have a couple of questions start here in my notes. It says, that were from this chapter.
Right,
am I living up to my capacity for joy as the mother to my children? Whoa. Is there more room for happiness in my daily life as a mother? And she says you should ask yourself those questions every morning. Am I, or every day, am I living up to my capacity for joy as the mother of my children? Is there room for more happiness? I love that.
That really was good.
And then what's the next chapter?
This one was good. Remembering the buy small and simple things philosophy. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, and she says, once I finally caught on to the benefits of the buy small and simple things approach to getting things done, I began to make it a game to see how many things I could use this philosophy to get things done around the house with and in her life. I thought, you know what? That is so good. What a good concept when you're thinking, because you know what? So many times we look at the jobs that have to be done around the house.
And the list is never ending.
Never ending.
I know. Just when you get the dishes done and loaded in the dishwasher, guess what? There's more dishes on the sink. Mm-hmm. And once you finish the laundry, you know, you have dirty clothes on your body you're going to be taking off that night.
It's there's things that are just never going to end.
Exactly. But, you know, just looking at it, I mean, she just gives you such good ideas about all of it, you know, like.
Well, I think in this chapter, I'm sorry, another thing that I also start. It says we sometimes need to revise our expectations of ourselves as mothers. And I think that's part of the whole small and so our expectations. What can we realistically expect to be able to get done? And it says, she says, when we do revise our expectations of ourselves as mothers, our frustrations will decrease and our satisfaction will increase.
I like that.
You know, so how often do we go around and evaluate our satisfaction? We know about our frustrations.
Well, those are pretty
we
evident.
We are all very freely expressing that many times.
Oh, but, yeah.
Well, and also in this same chapter, she talks about how we need to use this philosophy to make a big difference in our relationships with our husband.
Mm-hmm. I like that she threw that in there. That she
just kind of threw it in there on page 31.
When there's discord with the husband, the parents or the kids feel it. The children feel it very strongly. Absolutely. I mean, I know that personally. So,
well, and she's talking about staying connected in simple ways by pausing for a hug and a quick check-in when one of us arrives home after being away, by trying to give ourselves at least a little time each evening to touch base as a couple after the children are in bed, or by trying to go on a real date most weeks. And this is something that my husband and I have made our new goal, that we are going to go out and real dates at least 2 to 3 times a month. I know that's really, really
it's hard.
But in the last few weeks, we have gone out to dinner twice. Just the two of us. And I have to tell you.
Is it nice?
It's been nice. And just sitting there talking to him. And able to, you know, and it just kind of brought back some of those feelings when we were dating, for real.
And that is what we're advised to do by the prophet. You know, like, by continuing to court. I mean, did you guys get that advice?
When Brady and I go out to dinner, when we go on a date night, I should say, we make an honest effort to not talk about the kids.
And it's really hard not to. We haven't gotten to
about the kids.
Point. When you get back home to the children, isn't it easier?
This is really funny. My kids called it our marriage date. So whenever you go out, mom and dad are going on their marriage date.
That's funny.
So
what's the next
one? Okay, we're just kind of going along here just so you can see how wonderful these are. Teaching love and service.
Okay. Goes right. I have this right here, this quote. I love it. Service is love made visible.
That is great.
I love
pure
that
simple.
Quote.
That's beautiful.
Service is love made visible. Yep. And she encourages you to teach your children how to serve each other. And when I just think that those two pieces of advice, helping your children to see each other as Christ sees them, and then teaching them service as love.
That was a 4-page chapter, too. I mean, really.
It was fast. It was good.
This is what I love about this.
She
gives you a wonderful point, how to deal with this, or, you know, teaching us something in 4 pages. This is why I love these books. Because with everything that's going on, you can pick it up and go and read it.
And just get your little bit and
be
then
uplifted and something to work on that day. That's the way I looked at it. Okay. Seeking the power we need to do the Lord's will. Wow.
Yep. She talks about a lot of prayer right there.
Seriously, there's a lot of things. I wish we could talk about
these parents that were. I mean, the parents that are listening to this podcast.
You guys are all probably.
We
perfect,
know.
Huh?
I mean, y'all. Well, I'm sure they're not, but we all know how much prayer it takes to raise a child.
Well, and it's just not one prayer a day for each of them either. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I pray constantly through the whole day.
Well, she talks about how parenthood brings you face to face with your weaknesses and inadequacies, and I like how she put that, because there's nothing that'll show you just where your mistakes and weaknesses are than being a parent.
I agree.
And having your child mirror your weaknesses. And
that's what's scary is when they start doing things like that.
But then she talks about how you and your husband aren't parenting alone. I mean, Heavenly Father has their and your best...
He's mindful
best,
of us.
Interest in heart. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that you can, that by teaching your children to be taught by the Spirit, that you're not the only one teaching your children either. I love how she says that.
Oh, it was wonderful. The next chapter, of course, I really loved, because establishing a house of learning. And there's some things that I loved that she said, and because I just thought this applies to us as readers. She said, other mothers ask me how I fit so much reading time into my days. I tell them that it's really not so hard to do. And she just gives some really good ideas about how she does it. She says she doesn't watch as much TV. She's like, many moms I know, I squeeze in a little reading time each night before dropping off to sleep.
Yep, I do that.
And then she says, I also take some when the kids are taking a nap, or if they're at school, or carrying a book with me at all times. And I laugh at that, because that's me.
I do too.
And I have one everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have my book in the car. Yep. I've got one in the bathroom. So if I'm brushing my teeth, or, you know, or if I'm putting my makeup on, you know, I mean,
I just don't know how you can read and put your makeup on.
I can't do that either.
Okay, you guys would laugh. I've got my book on the counter here. I've got a can of something holding this side of my book down. I've got a can of this holding that down. And so I'm sitting there, flick, flick, put the mascara on, look down, read a paragraph. Flick, flick. Thick mascara. I mean, especially if I'm reading something I need more of. But I just love that she said that. She said, and so in recent years, I have made reading and learning a priority in my daily life. And she says, and I love this part too. She says, because in the last week alone, thanks to the books I've read, I've traveled to some fascinating locations. And that's what I've always loved reading, because I go to places I never probably will ever get to go to. But when you are reading,
you're there.
You get to do that.
Yes. Well, and I like how she asked the question in this chapter, is the gospel of Jesus Christ at the center of our learning? And she also talks about questions that you can ask yourself. Once the readers get there, there's a list of questions that you can ask yourself to see if what you're reading is going to be beneficial to your family.
Right.
And does it uplift? Does it encourage them to treat each other nicely? You know, things like that, which I thought was wonderful.
And she quotes the 13th article of faith and how we choose materials for our kids to read, which I thought was very good too.
And I don't know if it's in this chapter or not, but there was another one that I started. There's so many good things that
she says
there is not time or space to become distracted by things that are unimportant in the eternal scheme of things. There is too much at stake. And I put on here to note to myself, including our doubts about ourselves as mothers.
There's very wise.
Satan wants a distracted, disappointed, feeling
inadequate
mother. Because she won't mother her children with the spirit. And I don't know if that's in that talking
about
the learning or not, but that was something that that really stood out to me, was there's no time and there's no space to be distracted by things that are unimportant in the eternal scheme of things.
Well, in her next chapter is Lighting Our Children's Journeys. Mm-hmm. It says, what better place to let our light shine than our own homes, where we have a compelling opportunity to make a powerful impact on our children's lives. And I think with all of us, don't we all have daughters that are 10, 9, 10?
9 mm-hmm. and 10.
And you know what? Think about how many years that leaves us left with these kids before they leave.
Exactly.
And when my daughter turned 10, it just hit me like a ton of bricks that I only have 8 more years with her. What am I going to do with those 8 years?
Because how much quality teaching time is there going to be once they go and get a job and they're in school and they're doing their own things?
And it's a scary thought.
You're only going to see her for an hour or two each day.
Exactly. How much, what are we going? So it's just, really hit me funny.
Before they start closing their mind off to what
Sheila, you know what?
Saying.
What? That just dawned on me. I'm sorry. 3 more years.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I went through this on her birthday a few months ago, and I sat there and just bawled.
Sheila, you're going to make me cry.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. But it was just, it really changed my whole outlook on the way I've interacted with my daughter since then. Mm-hmm. And when I've said something or done something I shouldn't, I've made sure to go in and talk to her and apologize if I've done something.
Along that same line.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say in this that I may be going right down the same road you were going. As she asks here, when my children look at me, do they see a mother who feels blessed in keeping the commandments? And also, and I think it might be in, it's okay to take a nap. No. Yeah. I'm trying to remember where I am here.
Yeah,
because but she talks about what are my children going to remember about me and then their time spent in my home.
Wow.
Because really, they only spend a small amount of time in your home.
And
it is your home, because as soon as they go, it's your home. They're here and they're in your care for 18 or 20 years or however long they're living at home with you. Hopefully not 30. But while they're here, what are they going to remember about you as a mother and the time they spent in your care, in your home?
I know.
And that was one thing that kind of about smacked me upside the head a little bit.
There's a lot of little points in both of these books that make you stop and think that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't regurgitate things that I've read in other books. And that's why when we get to It's Okay to Take a Nap, which I did finish, by the way.
Oh, I did too.
It's dog-eared. It's highlighted.
Yeah, mine's marked all over, and I have little notes
in
there.
And yeah, I have my little notes in the corners too and on the sides.
This is why you need your own copy,
yes,
ladies.
That's why I buy a lot of these. It's for that very reason. So
you will mark it up.
Yes.
You will. But let's move on.
Okay,
unless you want to.
Well, there was just one more thing I wanted to talk about. On the next chapter, it's called Praying Unto the Lord for the Consecration of Our Work. There was something she said here that said, motherhood in and of itself is a powerful invitation to change as an individual and to improve ourselves for the sake of our children. And I just thought, oh, wow, you know, because I'm always saying, I need to lose weight, you know, and I need to do this and I need to do that. But I just thought, wow, you know, that to think we need to change and better ourselves for our kids. But it says, it is my experience that motherhood in concert with the Spirit has the potential to change us in far more powerful ways than we could ever otherwise do on our own.
I'd like to add in here, for those who aren't mothers yet, or who may not be able to be mothers on this earth, that my sister has plays a big role in my daughter's lives as aunts.
Amen.
And as neighbors and as friends. I mean, Hillary's kids, you know, when we talk about, because Hillary and I have been friends for long, it's like Aunt Hillary and Aunt Shanda. Exactly. You know, even though we don't see each other very often, but you never know as a woman where your influence is going to be, even if you don't have your own children.
Well,
or, and she talks about the influence of your children's friends who may not have a good mother.
How you can influence
mothering
them
influence
too.
And not to judge other people, okay? But
I agree.
If they may not have the most attentive mother, or maybe there isn't a mother in the home, then you can also be that light and example to them.
And these can also be applicable to grandmothers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think grandmothers can be, I mean, because I know my grandmother. I was telling you guys about her earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, she was one of my favorite people. Mm-hmm. And she's been gone since 97. And I miss her so much. You know, she was one of my best friends. I loved her. But grandmothers can make such a big difference in their kids' lives. And like you said, the aunts and just being friends. And just because I know even before I was married that I was a big help and influence in my niece and nephew as my sister was going through her divorce and how important it was what I was doing with them and the example I was to them. So seriously, you know, this applies to any woman who has anything to do with children. I mean, a lot of it does, you know, whether you're a teacher in primary or teacher at school or, like you said, the neighbor, relative, whatever.
Anyone who's in a position to be in a mentor or be a mentor to a child.
Influence children.
Yeah,
but I think we've got to go into the other book, unfortunately.
There's so many things. And I hope we haven't given too much away, Deborah, but, you know, there's so much more than what we've talked about in this book. There is...
We highly recommend it. This is a great gift for
wonderful details and
for yourself, you know, for Mother's Day.
As I was reading these books,
buy it for yourself.
As I was reading these books, I was making a list of the women I wanted to buy it for.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Just because
that's a good idea.
The mothers that I know and I wouldn't just be handing out to anyone, because this isn't about how to better discipline your children or anything. It's just an affirmation of motherhood and encouragement as a mother and in your role as mother. And so this is an encouraging thing. It makes a good gift. It's not one of those that people be like, what are you trying to tell me?
And you know
what? It's not like that at
all. I found after I read, you know, sometimes after you read a mothering book, you just think, ugh, I am the worst mother in the world.
Add this to my list of things to change.
Yeah. But you know what? After I finished reading Deborah's books, I felt so happy.
Like, you feel energized. You want to be a mom again.
You're excited about being a mom. You're happy about it. You're thankful for it. I mean, Deborah, you did something here that I think a lot of people have not been able to do in a mothering book and make us happy to be moms again. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that guilt-free thing
without feeling
is really
like
important to me.
Yet another high expectation to try to meet.
This is so refreshing. This is refreshing because even the books that I mentioned at the beginning, it's like that seems to be the trend that we're going now. So we're not feeling so much weight over our shoulders to balance on the world. And that's what I loved about these other books too. She particularly. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Move over, June Cleaver.
Yeah, I'm like, these are wonderful.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Now, you mentioned just before we leave that one, how she said, didn't you mention that, because Deborah sent us an email about some things she'd like us to point out to our listeners.
Well, things that she would like to encourage the listeners
to do. She just said, I would encourage mothers to consider creating their own book of Book of Mormon inspirations for themselves and their families. Start by making a list of your favorite scriptures and then write your thoughts and feelings. I think you mentioned this about how you've applied these particular scriptures to your life and how you can apply them in the future.
I'm so going to do that.
I just thought that was phenomenal.
A wonderful suggestion. We should put that on the website. Maybe we can put some of our
that would be good.
If Deborah's okay with that, we'll email her and find out if we can.
You know,
put some of
what I would really love is maybe we can have Deborah be a guest blogger on our website.
That
Deborah,
would be nice.
Once you listen to this, if you're interested in doing that,
let us know,
and we'll let you be one of our guest bloggers.
Even if it's just to put some thoughts on that.
For May, we'll let her do the blog.
Okay.
That would be wonderful if you're listening.
It's okay to take a nap.
Oh, I love this book.
This is adorable.
You know,
it's
a book of permission. Well, not really permission. I don't want to say that because that's not even – it's a book of encouragement and, you know – Yes, go ahead, Hillary.
Please jump right in. Going on those lines, I mean, I pursue somewhat unusual hobbies, with the exception being scrapbooking. But for
though some people think that's unusual,
yes,
I know.
But I mean, Shanda knows this, and Sheila probably does too. But I've been playing hockey for 15 years now, and I read this paragraph, And I was just like, woohoo.
Was because it the one she that says, do something you love.
Do something you love
alongside
raising your children. And then she says on the second part of this that made me so happy because I didn't realize the benefit of what I'm doing. It wasn't just benefiting me because it's my stress reliever, guys. I have been doing it for the pure reason of
your release valve.
My release valve.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And I like it. So it's just very good for me. And she says,
and she's good.
Well, thank you. And she says, as I write this, it's clear to me that our children need not share our same interests to the extent we fill them, but that by seeing us pursue and develop our particular hobbies and talents, they will receive the permission they need to discover their own great hobbies and talents.
Isn't that wonderful?
Another way to be a great example to your children.
Yes.
So instead of feeling guilty, and I've never really felt guilty for going mm-hmm. and playing on my Thursday nights, but instead of going, oh, you know, what, this is only benefiting me, I feel like mm-hmm. I feel like now my kids understand that. I didn't think about it that
without
way.
Without even telling them, they
without
see.
Without saying anything, they know
it's okay
that,
for them to do it.
That they can pursue things that maybe aren't as normal, quote unquote, for women
girls
to do, for girls to do, or for to pursue something that's just out there.
You
it's
didn't
just,
read that whole quote there too, which I love because it's funny. My mark
yours
that too,
marked too
because I said
she
as you went
part,
in, it says we
read.
Yeah,
we
no,
absolutely love alongside raising children. We absolutely love. We will, I believe, almost guarantee that our children will be raised in an atmosphere steeped in joy.
See, yes, I have that highlighted. That. It's right
she
there.
She did. Well, so did I. And I noticed yeah. you had that.
That was. I no, loved that quote. One, in fact, I read that quote
that
to my
great?
Husband.
Wasn't that great? I thought it was wonderful.
Not that he cared, because men don't
care. They
don't
care.
Get
no,
it.
It's not the same
no,
level.
I want
not
you to
same.
Know what Deborah said. She says, I wrote, it's okay to take a nap with the hope that it would provide pure comfort for moms.
Mm, it
and
worked.
Based on mother's responses to the title, cover art, and content, I think, with the help of a wonderful publishing company, that I achieved that.
I love this cover.
I think so, too.
The
I
cover
so
is too. Adorable. If you guys ever mm-hmm. look at the cover.
And she said, I would mm-hmm. hope, I'd hope that most of us as moms need to be kinder to ourselves in some of the specific ways we, and she talks about those ways that we can be kinder to mm-hmm. ourselves. And that's what this yep. whole book is about.
And one we've already talked about, let go of comparisons to other mothers.
Oh, I love
anywhere.
That. So love that.
And then.
They all moms don't need to be exactly alike.
This one was good for me. You run the to-do list, not vice versa.
I know.
I mean, that's a paraphrase.
Right.
But I run the to-do list. The to-do list doesn't run me. And it's important to take the time to set aside the to-do list if bringing you happiness in your motherhood is going to be spending some time with your child.
Exactly.
The dirty dishes don't matter in the eternal scheme
they
of
don't.
Things. But your child will remember or may remember the time that mom sat down and played chess or whatever.
And she you know? Says, there's a quote, because at each of the end of the chapter,
yes.
you guys.
This
love
is a great
that.
Format in this book, isn't it?
Tell us about it, Hillary.
This is wonderful.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. She says, she calls it invitations and inspirations, and it's the end of every chapter.
Which
and
is
I'll
only a few pages long.
Yeah, and again, 2-3 pages
exactly.
for a chapter. Wonderful.
Perfect
quick
for
read.
Yep.
This was such a fast read. I finished it in like 2 hours.
Yep. This is about 2 hours.
And that's with me highlighting and thinking about things she said, too. So it was wonderful. And she, like, I have mine highlighted here that's at the end of this chapter. She says the most important thing she learned over the years, this is a quote by Jill Churchill, excuse me, that she learned over the years was that there was no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one.
I love
great.
That.
It's going
it
on my
is.
Page.
They're all mm-hmm. wonderful.
I love that.
And she has suggestions, like make a list of some activities you used to enjoy as a child.
Oh,
like
I love
that
one too.
Love to do. And I thought, oh, that's such a great idea. And then she puts in at the bottom, remember your children are watching. And by being yourself and doing the things you love, that will show that them how to, they can, everyone will be happier for it is basically what she's
saying. You know
what?
You
like,
should have
amen.
The quote, your children are watching
yes.
somewhere up on your wall
oh,
or up
I
somewhere.
Should.
Because when you think about it, because you remember the thing as teenagers is always when you go on a date, put a picture of Jesus on the dashboard, you know?
Really?
Did you ever hear that one in Young Women?
No. But I never went on dates.
Well, maybe that's how come. But
I was no. too much of a book
well,
for
Well, Sheila, to go along with what you're saying, there's a quote that I have on my fridge that says,
what is it?
Your children are a barometer of your feelings.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And I keep that on there because it reminds me, okay,
Mama
I'm losing
ain't
my
happy,
cool.
Ain't nobody
ain't
happy.
Nobody happy. Mm-hmm. It's a nicer way of saying that, basically.
But, I mean, so, it helps you think about it. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
You do things way differently if you remember yep. who's
yeah,
watching
and
you.
Absolutely.
Here, it was in, it's okay to take a nap. When children are grown up, what do you want them to remember about you and their time in your home? That's where it was.
Yep, there it was.
I mean, that
was.
Just made such an impression oh, on me.
It's
that, because
incredible what she has in this
I can personally apply that in how my, you know, I can, because of my childhood.
Yes.
It was,
right.
It really did make an impact. Seeing how your parents interact, how you
oh,
are
definitely.
As a mother. I mean,
absolutely.
I watched my mother a lot. I learned a lot of things from
right,
her.
Right, right.
And also how to deal with conflict, you know? So it was, and the time I spent in my parents' home, taught me a lot also. It can be negative. It can be positive.
But you still wouldn't you want the most
positive
it.
Environment right. that your children can have? Right. I love how she talks about that.
That was chapter one, being a one-of-a-kind mom is the best. Chapter two, you don't have to do it all today. It's like, thank you so much. No, it was funny. As I was reading this book, I kept saying, thank you, Deborah. Yeah. Thank you, Deborah.
That's why I'm saying it's almost like a book of permission.
I mean, seriously. It just
not that anyone needs permission, but that's
but just reading like the title. It was just like, oh, because I just think sometimes we just put so much on ourselves. And it just, and I love also she puts down, she has the title, then she has a little bit of a quote right there what the chapter's going to be about. Like this one, it says, I want better for my children than a mother who exhausts herself with a perpetual race to the end of a never-ending to-do list.
It's highlighted.
No, I have a highlight. Great.
My to-do list in there and on my planner is probably 30 things. And there are some days I just don't turn it on.
That's, and it's good.
Yeah, I just don't even look at it because I can't do it all. I just can't.
Could you use a break from the pressure you put on yourself to get it all done? That was in the book.
And then she talks about this celebrity mom she adores. And then she realizes, she goes, how does she do it? And then I just put a line out of the bottom.
She has a staff.
And I went, okay. But I've never looked at Hollywood as people that...
Oh, I never have either.
I know. It just makes me wonder. I mean, it makes you wonder who the person is, but it doesn't have to be one specific person because we've all seen Hollywood mothers like that. And you know they can't do it all by themselves. Taking all the time to shop for all the designer clothes and everything. Of course they have
people
who do
that. Can I throw a thought in there? Right. I was reading Perry Kinder writes for the West Valley City News, and I love her column. She wrote, speaking of Hollywood moms, have you guys noticed what the latest trend is with Hollywood moms is that babies are an accessory now.
You have a baby
and you get to dress them up all nice and cute. It was puppies. Now Paris Hilton needs a dog, you know, a baby so that she can have the proper accessory. And I just think that's why this book, when she wrote that, I just wonderful.
You know, you have, I mean, how many times have you seen women like that and you're, wouldn't it be nice to be famous, well-known, have the money to buy designer clothes?
No, thank you.
Have a hairdresser and everything. And then you look at
I'll take the money, but I don't want the publicity. But you know
what?
I don't even want the money if it means I can't have my kids the way I want.
Mothers that I compare myself more to are the LDS women that I see. They have the absolutely spotless homes.
But I know.
Talk about that and I love that.
And not saying that they're bad moms, but I look at my house and I'm going, oh my heavens, why can't my house be spotless?
And she talks about you never know the whole story because
she does.
My mom always told me behind every clean house is a mountain of laundry because if your house is spick and span, something has to give.
Don't you think
and
so?
It's either the children or the laundry.
That needs to go in my laundry room.
Something. I liked what she said on page 11. She says, so now in terms of getting things done, I allow myself to feel successful if I accomplish my standing daily to-do list. And I liked how she said, have a really short to-do list.
She has a standing one, and then she has an A list.
Exactly. And most of the items on my hot list, she has a hot list. Mm-hmm. Anything I get done in addition to these two lists now feel like extra credit. And I thought, that's so fabulous.
Yeah, it's extra fabulous. You can still get extra credit.
You bet. And in her invitation and inspiration, she said,
this was so good.
Remember that no matter what you've accomplished or not accomplished today, if you have loved and nurtured your children, you have done what matters most.
I love that.
So if you've taken the time to spend some time with them, you told them you loved them, read them a bedtime story.
And it's okay to go to bed with the dishes not done.
Yep.
If it means you get to spend time reading a story to your child at bedtime and tucking them in a singing song or listening to your daughter. I don't know if you guys do this, but every once in a while when I tuck my daughter in, we will end up talking for 45 minutes
it's
in
imperative.
Her bed. It's stuff that they don't come out and tell you during the day.
Right.
It's stuff that you find out a lot of information during those talks. And if that means that my dishes go undone, then that's what happens.
And you know what?
Husband's the one loading the dishwasher at those times, but you know.
No.
But something else may go undone, but would you trade it, really?
No. Because you're establishing the communication that you're going to need to get along with your teenager in a few years.
Exactly.
Because you want your daughter or your son to be able to come and talk to you that way. Mm-hmm. I had a yes on give your children and yourself a gift by putting at least one just for fun item on your to-do list every day.
I love that.
Make that two items. Make one to do with the kids and one to do by yourself or with your husband.
Mm-hmm. How many times do we put a fun to do with my husband thing in my checklist?
I don't know.
Unless it's to watch a show that we've been wanting to watch.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, and then we're just having snuggle time, which just sometimes just being close to your husband is nice.
See, and I'm on the couch. Oh, good grief.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know where it is because I wrote notes, but you have your books in front of you. Right. I borrowed your book, so I don't have my own to mark up yet, but I'm going to.
Anyway,
this note that I have here, start and end each day peacefully and take a midday mini vacation if possible.
I love that.
Even if it's just 5 minutes. She talks about how her husband came in the door. She was standing there and she tried to put on her, "Hi, honey, did you have as good a day as we did" face? And she ended up just handing in the baby and said, "I'm taking a vacation. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
And she went for a walk.
No, she went to her bedroom.
Oh, that's right. She did go to her bedroom.
She went to her bedroom and shut the door and
sat down
against the wall and just slid down to the floor.
Yep.
And she didn't know what she was going to do with this
time,
but she just needed to have this time. She talks about how she ended up breathing. And she talks about how she takes a little bit of time in the morning to be peaceful and a little bit of time in the night to be peaceful.
What did she call that? She called it her...
It's like a meditation time.
No, she called it something different because I've always been, oh, I need to get up early before other kids. And she calls it something totally different.
The midday mini vacation.
No, like no, the before an ending day. How did she call it?
She called timeouts because I know you put it aside as timeouts.
Yeah, I put timeouts.
Because she wrote that on there.
I know, but she called it, and she also did something that I loved.
Yep,
she called it a sleep camp.
Yes, sleep camp.
I am going to do that. It's going to be hard because my schedule may not allow that to be quite as possible.
Well, you have to do it for a whole however long.
No, but she said just to get into the habit is what she was talking about.
Well, even if you can just have one day or 6 hours where you don't have to worry about anything but just sleeping, and you cannot work on the house, you just... sleep.
Make your sleep count by giving yourself the gift of getting more sleep for the next 21 days.
She says 21 days.
You just add more time.
Your kids to bed earlier than usual.
Doesn't she talk about how in the first year of...
Set a lights out time for yourself.
In the first year of parenthood, a woman can lose up to 700 hours of sleep.
And then it just gets worse along the way.
So you deserve the sleep. And how many, a lot of reading I've been doing about health things lately,
right?
They're finding out that lack of sleep is... And I think she even talks about that in one of these books, that is considered a factor in obesity,
yes,
in all sorts of diseases, and anxiety,
absolutely,
and blood pressure, depression.
Everything.
I mean, you have to sleep. We were designed to sleep. That is how the Lord designed us.
She talks about that, and it's okay to take a nap.
And it's just, I mean, there's so many things she covers. You guys, you just have to read the book.
It's just unreal. I just love everything in it. It's hard.
I mean, she talks about lightening up and surrender. This is one thing that I started, the main thing I started in the okay to take a nap in my notes was lighten up. Surrender to inevitable interruptions. It's better to arrive late and happy than late and grumpy, because when I hate being late, and yet I am perpetually late because I'm out of the habit of having a baby. And she talks about how you get the freshly changed baby, you're getting ready to walk out the door, and you have to change them again, and you have just enough time to get there, and so you end up being 10 minutes late. And you know what? It's probably going to bug some people, but she's right. Isn't it better to arrive late and happy than late and grumpy?
I have stopped. I took that to heart because I am perpetually late too. And it's because with five kids, there's always somebody late.
And you can plan ahead all you want. I will start getting ready half an hour before I have to go. And it always started me squeaking out the door.
I read someone once wrote something. I don't remember where I read it, but you give each child you have, you allow 5 minutes of prep time per child.
I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah. And I do that, and I still am late.
I just don't like,
even
I just don't like the glare
even
from
with the
bishop
helping.
When you walk in late and knowing that I'm one of the ward leaders, you know, it's kind of hard to,
you can't see the glare if you're in the back.
Well, but still, I walk in and I can see the look. You're your primary president. You need to be here on time. Be a
you know
good
what?
Example.
Frankly, I find it comforting when I can see someone
see
like the elders' quorum president come in late.
You see, I'm not perfect.
That's just, you know what? When you see someone come in and they're running a little bit late and they sit in the back and they're a little frazzled, you're like, you know what? They're human too. And that
bookending.
You need that.
That's what she called it.
Oh, yes.
Bookending.
That's
right. And I thought that was just a perfect way
bookend
to look at it.
Peace in the morning and
peace in the
night.
Evening.
That is perfect.
And I thought, I have got to start doing that.
Instead of getting up and being frazzled right from the very beginning.
Yep. And that's how my days start.
Did you like chapter 5?
Chapter 5.
Queen, not a maid. Wasn't that so cute?
And I love that they called her princess and princesses. Your children are princes and princesses.
And
I thought
you know what's ironic?
Perfect.
When I was getting my house cleaned up the other day, I was thinking about how I could encourage my girls to please keep their stuff put away. And you know, we have daily cleanup times and stuff, but I was thinking about a phrase or a way I can help them think about it. And as I was climbing up the stairs, and I remember because I was getting close to the top of the stairs when it occurred to me that I need to talk about this home as if it's their castle. This is their palace. They get to be princesses. Like and then to read like this, it was like, wow, talk about inspiration.
Yep. Living in a reasonably tidy house can make us all feel a bit more like royalty. So that would work perfectly with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. But my prince and princesses deserve to live in a tidy palace. And if we can just put things where they go, then they will have a clean castle to live in.
I like how she has her decor. Of family chores decree listings and just
this whole chapter is just wonderful.
I thought it was really cute.
I mean, she has so many little mini chapters. We just don't have time to go through
all of them. No, I wish we did. But I really like her suggestion in that chapter, have tidy up times right before every meal, but especially just before supper.
Yep.
Kind of reminds me of a little bit of the Fly Lady thing. But
a little bit.
You know what? I thought it was good. Going on, motherhood is full of wonderful surprises, which is really good. I must be selfish because I kept going to the ones that really made me feel good about me.
You deserve a break.
Like take a nap. Oh, you know? Yes, you deserve a break today. Mm-hmm. It says, motherhood doesn't have to mean being on duty 24/7, day after day, week after week. But I had allowed it to become just that. And now in my burned out state, I realize that such an approach to motherhood isn't necessarily good for my kids or for me. Boy, how many moms need to be told this? You know? Seriously. Well,
how many times have we been, we know we need to take breaks.
I know we do, but we don't take
it nearly as seriously
She gives suggestions for that. She talks about how in her invitations and inspiration section, make a list of 15-minute retreats you could create just to renew yourself when time permits. Like a journal writing session, an extended prayer, or simply, she says, even crawling into bed and relaxing for a few minutes.
Yeah, why not? Oh, well, that's why I like to crawl into bed and
I never
want to
get out.
But you know what? That's the problem with
that. You guys, when I started exercising about a year and a half ago, I was feeling so guilty, you know, leaving my kids. Because I exercise at night, guys. I'm not a morning person. If I depended upon getting up in the morning and exercising, I would never exercise.
I do it when I can.
Tell you that.
I don't do it at a set time anymore.
I do it anywhere from 9 o'clock at night to 10:30 at night. That's when I exercise. And I felt so guilty leaving my family. Sometimes I get on there earlier, but I felt so guilty going up there. And after reading this, it really affirmed in my mind and in my soul that, you know what? It's okay that I am up there exercising, taking care of myself.
And think of the example that you are to your kids. You are worth the time it takes to exercise. You are worth taking care of.
You know what? And I'm a better mom for it, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It makes you a better mom for it because I have more energy because I started exercising back in January, like full bore. Mm-hmm. And because hockey season started. And I didn't want to make a fool of myself. But and it was just, the difference has been night and day. I can run to catch up to my kids instead of you know, it makes you a better mom. Mm-hmm. She comes right out and says, she has a chapter about exercise and talks about that. And it's amazing the difference that it makes.
The days I exercise, I sure can keep up with Riley a lot more. Right now with him toddling totally around everywhere, different. I have to be able to keep up with him.
So.
And you deserve to feel energized and get that stress and the blood pressure.
Absolutely.
Your blood pressure goes down when you exercise and it can stay down longer. It's a good thing. No, I have this question that I wrote down here that she asks that I think pretty much sums up our desires as mothers, what we want ultimately for our children. She asks, what gift do I want to give my children today?
I love that. Yes.
Because really, isn't at the end of the day, don't you want to just give your children the best gift that you can? And that is the gift of you, a happy mother. A well-rested mother.
Right.
A well-fed mother. And I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about quality.
Quality of food, what you're putting in your body.
A mother who has set aside time to spend with their children.
Self-care.
But who has also managed to find balance in the tasks that she has to complete each day.
I love the balance.
A mother who can forgive herself. A mother who can let go of unrealistic expectations and stop comparing herself to every other mother on the block.
Guilt-free parenting. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been talking about.
It's keeping your eye on what really matters, and that is loving your children.
Yep.
And she has nailed this subject on the head.
Wonderfully.
It is just Seriously, this is an incredible mothering book. Mm-hmm. But it's more than just that. You know, where she talks about how you are an amazing mom, there were a lot of things, like what you're saying, different things. It says, will you accept my invitation to become more aware of the good you are doing now as the mother of your children?
Mm-hmm. And she talks about how
so that's
we
what
don't
she
even,
talks about, the precious mm-hmm. gift there.
And we don't even realize, she says, most mothers don't realize how much love they pour out to their children every day.
And small things, too.
You know, and it starts absolutely. It starts when you have a newborn. The service that you are giving your children from the moment they're born. Caring for them, nurturing
sacrifice.
Them, protecting
yeah, a lot
them.
Of that.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you are pouring love out to them constantly. So even if you are making mistakes as a mom, look at how much good you are doing. Focus on the good you're doing and forgive yourself for the mistakes.
I know. I just think that we'd benefit so much more if we would do that. You know, one thing, could you benefit from taking a kinder view of yourself as a mother?
Mm. Yes.
So that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I love her questions that she asks.
Because they're not unrealistic. They're important questions that we really need to evaluate if we're going to be the successful, happy, loving mothers we want to
right.
be.
And knowing how all three of us can sometimes be, this is, did you see, I don't know if you noticed,
yep.
I put big. This was a big thought to me. This was in that same chapter.
Which page?
For it's on page 57, sorry. The light's not over very good over here.
Sorry.
I'm over here sitting in the dark. They're in the light.
It's
I'm in the dark. But it says, for one full day, and this is so hard, but it says, for one full day, seek to think and say only kind things about yourself. If this is an easy thing to do, terrific. But if it's not so easy, work to make it a habit. You'll be glad you did. Because I am one of those people that is very, very tough and hard on myself more than anyone else. And I read that and it was just like, oh, wow. And she actually says to write those things down about yourself, of how you are a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, just unreal.
If you think about what the stuff that you say to yourself, would you ever allow anyone to say that about your child?
Well, about your child or about yourself?
Or
wouldn't you be offended?
Anyone
absolutely.
That you love, including yourself, would you let anyone else say those things?
No.
And yet we do it to ourselves, and I'm sure every time we do it, Satan does a little victory dance.
I know. And, you know, I would be really offended if someone would say the things to me that I say to myself sometimes. I really would be.
Yeah.
I would be totally offended, but I say it to myself all the time.
What about when your daughter or your daughter, like my daughter has, said negative things about themselves out loud to you.
Right.
And you know,
that's
and they
hard.
Say something, don't you stand up and defend them and don't
yes,
think
you
about
do.
That. You
mother,
are so
the
much
mother
better.
Bear.
Turn it around and do it to yourself because your child is watching you. And if you
cut yourself
have
down.
Positive self-talk, they will follow
exactly.
your example.
Or they'll follow the example and of cutting themselves down.
And you can talk to them about how you changed from talking badly to yourself to realizing you were worth talking well to yourself, because we've all done it.
I know.
And it breaks your heart when your daughter does it, or your son even. You don't want them to do it. What better way to encourage them than to change your habit of negative self-talk into a one
well,
of positive
Well, and she
self-talk.
Even says you could begin as follows. I think you're doing a terrific job as a mom.
And you fill in the blank.
And if that's where you need to start with that.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think we've had a wonderful discussion here. If you haven't been convinced to buy the book by now, you're either a man
but buy it for
or
your wife.
Not listening to this podcast. So
they're wonderful.
Deborah, wonderful job. Thank you for taking the time to write these thoughts down, to write these books. These are wonderful gifts to receive on Mother's Day or to give on Mother's Day. You will not regret the purchase of this book.
Nope.
So if you can't get
you
to it with the library, then it is worth the money to purchase it.
And for all of those women out there that are finding books for their church groups, you know, that I'm always having women ask me, what books would you recommend? I would recommend these as a good discussion
because
Deborah in her email to us said, I wrote both of my mothering books to hopefully encourage mothers to talk more openly with each other about their experiences of motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I love that, more openly, because...
And on that note, I also want to add how well she addresses not judging other mothers.
Oh, you know what?
If
we need to be so much more
kinder to each other. Not just about comparing ourselves to other mothers, but also judging how they're... their mothering, because she says it very well in there when she says that we're all doing our best with our children. It says, recognize as mothers, we are all doing our best in raising our children. Be more accepting of others. Right. And you never know what their situation is. And if you don't want to be judged yourself as a mother,
then don't judge
do it
others.
To anyone else. And yep. maybe that will also encourage, you know, discussing in book groups.
Right, right.
And like she was saying, to be more accepting of other mothers, because exactly. they're parenting the best they know how. Everyone is.
Right. And just remember from this whole thing, you're a better mother than you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Always remember yep. that. Look at what you're doing and realize you really are better than you think you are. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a break. Remember, it's okay to take a nap.
And Heavenly Father loves you.
Yep.
And definitely. What you're doing. And yep. He will always be there for you. You just have to
support
pray.
You through it.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Yeah, no kidding. Seriously, Deborah, thank you so much for having the inspiration to write these books because you've changed my life as a mother and as a woman. And
we hope all of you mothers out there have a good Mother's Day. And those of you who are in a position to mentor will think of yourself as good mothers also, even if you're not biologically mothers, and celebrate the influence that you have on those children who are looking up to you and the good work that you're doing and being examples to those kids that
absolutely
that you are around.
Yes.
Anyway, she does have a sense of humor, and you'll find little nuggets of
all throughout both books.
Opportunities to laugh through the books.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for joining us for episode 23 of LDS Woman's Book Review. We'll keep you updated on the website as to developments with the authors that we have coming and the books that are being released and what you can expect in the coming months. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you next time around.
Bye. Thanks.
See ya.